it's hard to turn down a deal that makes money. You see a deal which you're confident is going to make at least $10,000 for you or something like that. You know, those types of deals actually bog you down. It's so much better when you can get a deal that makes you $150,000, $200,000 on one deal, and that's 20 of the smaller deals.
Then your mind's wrapped around those leads and your mind's on it. I was like, if you just were working on a $300,000, $400,000 profit project, that's so much easier of a business model. If you just completely cut those out, I think you'd be very shocked with where your business would go.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. So great to be here once again. Today's a little bit of a different episode. My co-host Heather is not with us, but I've got another special guest by the name of Daniel Atke. And if you are at all familiar with the land investing space, you've probably heard and seen some of his content along with his brother Ron. So I was really excited to have you on here. And kind of the topic that I wanted to go over with you today is how to build the perfect list for land investing. You've got some pretty cool things up your sleeve, and we can dive into all those today. I guess it'd be a good place to start. Maybe if you've been living under a rock or something like that, you don't know who Daniel is, but if you could briefly just tell us a little bit about your background, specifically in the land investing space too.
Yeah, so I kind of like you, Pete, I came from a lot of different businesses. You were in the blogging space and had a lot. I was in similar e-commerce. I had an electric bike company, went down the whole e-commerce path working my 9-to-5. That was essentially what got me out. And throughout that path, I had two mentors, Joe and Mike Bruska, who were helping me with my Kindle publishing business and my e-commerce business and Google ads and all that stuff. And they're like, hey, you should look at land. It's super, super profitable. And that was throughout, you know, a time where I was transitioning out of the e-commerce space. And I knew I wanted to get into something more long-term, more sustainable than what I was doing. And my brother Ron was a basketball coach at the time. So I went to Ron, I was like, hey, this land thing's really, really interesting. You should look into it with me. And he was coaching, he was working 80 hours a week, traveling on buses, recruiting, all of that, had a family. Yeah, literally getting paid hardly anything at all. And he had a baby on the way. And I was like, well, at that point, I was fairly financially free from my other businesses. And I was like, how about I put in the money and, you know, you do the work. That was the initial game plan. And then, you know, I fell in love with the space, and we ended up just splitting all the work and, you know, going in full force. And within 6 months, you know, he was financially free to the point where he didn't need to work or anything anymore. It took about 6 months diving in. And that's when you and I met throughout that early period, I think too. And you were going hard at land and we were going hard at land. And that's how we kind of met and connected. So it was good timing on that. But then from there, you know, we just have been 100% focused on the land space. We have our own company. We still invest in land. We have two software companies to help support the land industry. And we're completely bought in on this and trying to grow the industry as a whole.
You're an entrepreneur, you know, like it's like in you, you know, I can tell. Like, so have you always thought about yourself that way? Like from even when you were little?
My dad owns a carpet cleaning, like a small local carpet cleaning business here. So I grew up working with him, and I did see the ups and downs, especially through the recession and stuff. Like that stuff is no joke. We felt that hard. I like the flexibility. He didn't miss one of my sports games. He was always there. He was our coach growing up. And I just saw the flexibility and freedom it provided him. So that was always in my head. I knew deep down that I was going to be an entrepreneur. That being said, like a lot of entrepreneurs, no, we don't always do well in school. I was, you know, on the borderline of even, you know, graduating. I was planning on going and playing college football, but I had some D1 offers. But to get me to that next level, my grades were holding me back. Like I had horrible grades. My freshman year, I had like a 1.7, and then, you know, just not doing that well in school. Didn't get into college, didn't get into many colleges. So I ended up taking a year and going and traveling. And I lived in Israel for a year and worked with a tech company and traveled around and stuff. And that's when I was like, all right, this is time to focus on my entrepreneurship. I ended up going to college, but in my head, like that just, Israel has a huge startup. It's a big startup country with a lot of different startups and innovations and tech companies. So when I was there, it kind of fed the beast in that way to where it solidified what I wanted to do in business and entrepreneurship.
Many entrepreneurs are not, you know, academically, you know, like have not academically excelled. I certainly did not, you know, I made it through college, but barely, you know, showed up to enough classes to make it happen, I guess. But I didn't go to any Ivy League school or anything like that either. So land, obviously I'm a big fan of land, and you guys are a big fan of the land space and everything like that. It's been pretty good to you guys over the last, it's been like over what, probably 3 years that you guys have been kind of going down this path.
I think we initially dipped our toes in the water in 2019, and then 2020 is when we went full force.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are a little bit ahead of me. Like I was the end of 2020 when I like stumbled into it, and then I just kind of like went all in on it. Yeah. We connected pretty early along that process, you know, like maybe 6 months or so after that or something like that. And then it's been fun to kind of catch up every once in a while with you guys, because we're on very similar paths and everything like that. And I love everything you guys are doing with your related ventures in the land investing space too. And kind of the one of them that really ties into the big discussion that we're talking about today is like building that perfect list. Because I get so many questions about that in my community and everything. It's like, you know, what are the filters? Like, what are these perfect things that I need to like be looking for on my list in order to make my mailers and everything that I do the most effective? And you guys recently came out with something that kind of blew me away in terms of that. And I'll explain a little bit what I mean. It's called the Land Portal. And it's, on the surface, it's kind of like a tool where you can look up properties and look up all the things like you can do on Land ID and stuff like that. But the other thing that was really exciting to me was that you can build really custom lists off of that. And it's not just lists like other places like DataTree or something like that has in their standard filters. You've got some filters on there that have been big roadblocks for many land investors. Specifically, the ones like you can actually filter for landlocked properties. You can filter for FEMA flood zone, and not just if it has it or not, you can specify percentages like, hey, I don't want anything over 25% FEMA flood zone in my list. You can do the same thing with wetlands. You can also specify how much road frontage you need. And those really are game-changing filters. And then what I mean by that is it's been kind of like holy grail with land investing to try to minimize those type of bad leads that come back. Because, you know, even when we do our best job trying to filter these lists and everything like that, we send out our offers, we send out the mail, whatever we're doing, a lot of the leads that come back are junky properties that we don't want to buy. You know, like for us, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's probably like in the neighborhood of 50 to 75%. And most of the time, it's because of issues like it's landlocked, it's all FEMA flood zone, it's all wetlands, you know, there's terrible access, you know, like very limited road frontage or something like that. And it would be super powerful to be able to build a list where you can kind of eliminate all those properties from the beginning, and then obviously get the type of property responses that you're looking for. I guess it's a long way of saying, like, how do you do it? How did you build these filters into your software? Is it AI driven, or how did you do it basically?
There's a button at the top of the land portal that says vacant lots. That's AI, because, you know, I came from DataTree and I've used PropStream. I've used all of these softwares. DataTree was probably the biggest one that I've used in the past. And one of the issues we had is it's all county provided information, right? So when you put in your improvement value and your vacant lot filters and all the vacant land different filters in DataTree or another source, and I'm not saying it's a bad source, like DataTree's made me millions and millions of dollars, and it's great. Like they have really good data and everything. But when you do it like that, you know, you're relying on county provided data, which, as we know, is inaccurate. You go to some areas in Kentucky and these 20 to 30% will say zero improvement value, zero, it's vacant, like all these things according to data. And then you look and there's mobile homes on it. And one way we eliminated that was with an AI solution to scan the satellite imagery to understand the size of a structure, so it knows versus a bar. It's machine learning, so it continues to improve, but it's over 99%. It's very, very accurate. Very, very accurate. The only way it's inaccurate is if there's a really outdated satellite in a certain area and they haven't gotten recent satellite images from the five sources that they use. Wetlands and road frontage and landlocked, those are just definitions. So we have we partner with a lot of different data sources. Everyone's like, where'd you get your data from? We get our data from a ton of different places. We have census.gov data. We have multiple of the big data providers coming from different areas. We have a lot of different data sources to try to get the most full data we can possibly get. So to answer your question, there is a lot of machine learning and AI on the site, but a lot of it's just definitions and understanding the map and the data and reading the data very well. And we're coming up with more machine learning. Like the one thing we're working on now is evaluating slope with like a predictable buildability prediction type of lot, but not saying yes or no, because you get into all legal. You can build on anything, as we know, including underwater. If you have stilts, you can do all kinds of stuff if you got money for it, you know?
Right.
So I don't want to, so we're doing like a predictability thing, and it's going to scan the land, and it's going to be machine learning, and we're working on it. It's very impressive, and it's going to understand. At first, we're starting with slope, and it's going to understand the lay of the land and everything else going on. And then we're going to keep introducing it to more things to understand, hey, how good is this land for development potential or something like that. So with slope, because slope's very difficult to understand, because slopes happens at every point of the land, from the east to west to north to south, from foot to foot, slope changes, right? So that's where machine learning and stuff, where we're going to take it to the next level.
That's amazing. Yeah, slope, that was actually on my list to ask about, hey, what's next? Because I know you guys aren't like satisfied with where you're at. You're always looking to improve and everything. And I thought about that.
It's definitely the most difficult one as well. That's why we're approaching it. Yeah, because you can average it out. But what if the first 200 feet are flat and then it goes up to 1,000 feet right after that? That's a buildable lot with a nice flat land in the in the beginning. But what if it's, 30% slope off the road and then it's flat at the top? That makes it very difficult to build. How are you going to get up there and get a drive? You know what I mean? So slope has its own issues, and that's why we're taking it slowly.
Have you thought about, is it in the roadmap to also look into the potential motivation factors of the property owners as well? Like predictability as far as like, hey, there's a higher likelihood that this seller is maybe a motivated seller or something like that.
Yeah, we've thought of that. We're not there yet. That's probably 8 to 12 months out from actually implementing, because the machine learning takes a long time. We're doing a lot of other stuff on the side besides slope as well. But the motivation factors is something a lot of people in bigger industries are working on too. So we might just be able to piggyback off some other solutions as well and kind of adapt what they're learning and piggyback off that.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that you can join our community for free at landconquest.com. Inside, you'll get all the resources, training, and support for building a thriving land flipping business. Once again, that's landconquest.com. All right, enjoy the rest of the show.
You know, the reason I kind of call it a game changer is because for a while now, people in the land investing space have been talking about like, hey, let's build this list. I'm trying to eliminate all these landlocked properties. I'm trying to eliminate everything that's got wetlands. And I mean, the solution has been to hire some VAs and to manually look up each and every property and make a yes or no call on that, remove it from the list if it doesn't kind of meet that criteria. Obviously, that takes a lot of time, especially when you're sending out tens of thousands of offers and things each month. It takes a lot of time, which means it takes a lot of money as well. So that was the previous solution, and it's so nice to be able to actually like check a box or do a little filter on your site and just eliminate this. Have you heard of like other investors like coming to you with like feedback that's like pretty amazing?
When we started introducing the proprietary filters that we have, so like we get our data from a lot of places, I said, but now we have our own aggregation of data as well for these specific data points, like the road frontage and all this other stuff. It was extremely challenging to target high road frontage properties for subdivisions and minor subdivisions. So like the way you approach it, you can go to a county now and do your whole county selection process and find the restrictions of the subdivision in that area. And if there's any, restrictions on it or whatever the minimum lots you can do. And then you can target, I targeted 20 to 60 acres just for small minor subdivisions, 20 to 60 acres between 2,000 and 6,000 feet of road frontage or something. You got to see these properties coming back. I mean, three-sided road front, like it makes subdividing so easy. And then you can go out, Pete, and you can, if you're getting 50 acres with 4,000 feet of road frontage, you can subdivide this into, 10 5-acre lots. And all of a sudden you can pay 140% and still make 300% back. It just changes the game on that. Like that for me, because I like bigger deals. I know you do too, with higher numbers, and it changes everything. That's the one filter where I'm like, all these are great. Like filtering wetlands, of course, like that's game changer for sure. But if you want bigger deals, that's the way to go.
We've got a land investing community. It's on school. School platform, SKOOL, it's called Land Conquest. So we've got about, over 4,000 people in the community now. And we've been talking about your software for a few weeks now, but I haven't made it public to anyone that I'm actually using it or anything yet. I wanted to kind of test it on my own. So we got this post the other day, and I'm going to read it to you. This is from Mike. I'm not going to, you know, out his full name, just in case you didn't want to be on blast here. But he said, I'm finally getting momentum targeting lots that have minimum 2,000 feet of road frontage using the land portal and getting great leads. I got two under contract, a $170,000 lot is 35 acres, and a $210,000 lot that is 52 acres with over 3,500 feet of frontage. And I'm splitting the lots into 5 and 10 acre lots. With my projections, I should be able to triple my money on these deals. It'll be a bit more work with the surveyor, and I have it all lined up for next week. It comes around $15,000 to split them. Going forward, we'll continue to target these larger deals for subdivisions. Things are really starting to come together. You know, totally out of the blue, you know, someone posted that, and it's really kind of undermining what you were talking about there, you know, like using that for, you know, targeting those bigger properties from the minor subdivisions. I mean, that's really key when you're talking about those kind of numbers. And if he can triple his money, even if he doubles his money on those deals, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
And it highlights a thing, like we talk about what value do we provide to a seller and then the future buyers as well, just sustainability in general, right? And all of a sudden you can start taking, and I'm not saying, we still send out 40% offers, like, you know what I'm, it works very, very well still. But like the value you can provide by being able to go up to 80, 85% and close quick still and get your funding. I know you do a ton of funding, Pete, and get your funding and then splitting it up and having 5 acre lots, 10 acre lots on the market. Cause how many people can afford a 50, 60 acre lot versus a 10 acre that want it? And the supply for 10 acres is a lot shorter. You know, like there's, I just think value wise, it's very, very, very sustainable and also like profit and big deals. I love that you read that. That's incredible. Like I've been pushing that and trying to get people to target the subdivides for probably a month now hard. And it's really cool to hear that story of a success story of someone actually doing it. And I'm telling you, it's game changer.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really like a win-win when you talk about, like, you can position it with the seller. Like most of these sellers, you know, they have these larger properties they've owned forever. Maybe they inherited it or whatever, but they're, many of them, the great majority of them, aren't going to take that extra step to do a minor subdivision or something like that and then sell all these properties off. And it's just not going to happen. I mean, like they don't have the money to lay out to, you know, pay a surveyor, or they just simply don't have the power, you know, where to even start on something like that. So if you're able to like get them somewhat close to retail, they're not paying commissions or closing costs or anything like that. And then you're still able to make a great return on your money. I mean, that's a real win-win in that positions. You know, it just, when things are win-win like that, it's just easy to put stuff together. You know, it just makes sense from both sides and everything like that. And, you know, it's not even just a quick liquidity thing. I've heard a lot of investors saying, hey, like maybe we can partner on this with the seller, you know, so they have the seller hold the financing and then they take care of the, you know, the subdivision, and then they kind of split the profit. So all kinds of things are possible, but it really starts with the being able to find those properties. And if you can't find those properties, then, you know, it sounds great on paper, but it's not going
to
happen.
And we used to have a lot of VAs handpicking road frontage. And it's like, you don't know the footage, like it doesn't tell you. So you got to measure with the tool and try to fit. And it's such a pain. And now you can literally hit a few buttons and have a list of 1,000 where you can offer 90%, 85%. Like you said, if market value for us offering cash and paying the closing cost and closing quicks around 85%, I think that's equivalent to posting a property for 100% of market value. Cause after the closing fees, and if you're using a realtor, all that. So I really think value wise, the most you should be paying is 85% or so. But at the same time, if they want more, like you still have options to go up because the returns, like instead of measuring what the property is worth now, you measure the future value of the property after everything you put in.
I'm very excited about it. I'm just really excited about what, you know, I can do with my own business with this, building some really cool and specific lists and then tailoring the offer price accordingly. And obviously, that's going to get a much better response rate, higher you offer and everything like that. So it's very exciting to me. I think the best businesses are always, the best software and everything are always built when the people developing it are actually like in the business themselves, you know, like come from that business. They understand all the pain points, that they understand what problems need to be solved, you know. So I feel like you guys certainly understand all that from the inside, which makes it pretty logical for you guys to develop a product like this that's actually going to be a real tool that will help people. Are you a pretty tech oriented? Do you do any of the development stuff yourself, or do you hire a team to do all that? Any kind of our project manager on that type of stuff? Or
we have a whole machine learning that just came on board for this other projects. So we have a machine learning team that is probably about three people. We're still solidifying that with everything. And then we have our standard development team that runs the day-to-day in our implementation. We have a project manager, a full-time project manager, full-time QA, quality assurance, who goes and tests everything all the time, just constantly testing things when new changes are made. Then we have two full-time developers who are actually doing the development. And then we have a like a cloud guy, so like a back-end engineer who's up in the database, essentially, a DevOps guy. And we're adding to that team with the machine learning as well. So I don't actually know much about the development. I just know what I want, and I just kind of give them my vision and the path, and they make it come true. And I do research with them, try to solve the problems and stuff as well. But no, I don't know any coding at all. I don't even know what our stuff's hosted on. We were partnering with a new data provider for certain information, and it's like they're asking me, "Oh, what cloud are you guys on?" And what is that? And I knew some of the answers, but a lot of it, I'm like, yeah, I got to bring Andre on here with me, you know.
You can just refer him to Ron, but maybe Ron knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the other software business that you guys own, which I don't know if it's really out there a lot, is Droners.io. I'm one of your biggest customers. I don't know. Maybe I'm not, but I have this.
I'm sure you are.
Issue in my mind that I'm one of your biggest customers over there. I've been recommending that for years, and we use it, you know, for finding photographers all over the country. So maybe you can take a minute and just tell us a little bit about that as well.
They're up for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, essentially, and me and my brothers got together. And my brother Mike, who's the third brother, he's not behind the camera as much, but he doesn't run our businesses. He's not in our land business, but he does land on his own, right? So he has his own land business, and then he's an engineer on the side too. He actually has a technical background. And Ron brought up to him, hey, look into it, see what's going on. The site was shutting down for a long time. You saw it, like it just wasn't operating efficiently. So we kind of dove in, and we knew it so well, like you, like it's, you know, that software, like the back of your hand, because how much you use it. And we're like, we'd hate to see this go. So dig into it. And then Mike ran full force with it, and ended up, the parent company was in Sweden. He was talking to them, and they referred him to the trustee, and then he got information. And then essentially it was in Chapter 7 foreclosure, which means they filed for bankruptcy, and it was their parent company, Precision Hawk, was all their entities under them were going. And we looked at all the financials and everything from droners.io, and it was healthy. And, you know, just because one entity was doing healthy, you know, the other ones brought that down with it, and they had a cash issue. We found out that, and we were really, really interested, especially just because how much we used it. And like I said, we didn't want to see it go. So we ended up going to a live auction in Raleigh, North Carolina, and bidding to purchase it against another party, essentially. And we had our number, and they had their number, and we were going in federal court, you know, in front of federal judge and stuff, and doing this live auction, which was really exciting and kind of nerve-wracking at the same time, because we wanted it really bad. And you get emotional in those auctions too, and it's like, who knows what we would have gone up to. But we got at a price we really liked, and it fit our portfolio really well with software and everything we want to go. And my brother Mike's running the day-to-day, and he's doing a phenomenal job. It's growing like crazy right now. Numbers are good. Thanks to people like you, Pete, being, you know, huge supporters of it. Yeah, I thought it fit our portfolio really well, and it's helping land investors reach that freedom they're looking for. It's a really, really neat software. I've always liked it, and I thought it was always a really good, really good tech.
Well, it's a couple of things about the story and everything. And I told you this before last time we talked on Zoom. When I heard of this was all going down, I sent them an email too, because I talked with Heather, and she's like, you should see if we could buy it.
Yeah.
I emailed them, and they never responded. And I thought, well, it must be some sort of like bankruptcy thing. They can't, you know, do any business with me or whatever.
I'm really glad we weren't bidding against each other in court. I know you got a little more money than them, probably.
I just think it's amazing that you guys kept it up and everything like that, because it was a big thing. You know, I got tons of questions in our community about like, hey, what are we doing now? The Droners, you know, like it was still working for us. The weird thing, it was still working for us. But I don't think it was letting new people sign up. I don't know what it was, but, and I know you guys are doing a lot of things to make it really efficient and everything like that. So very, very cool on that. So I'm not going to ask you how much you paid for it, but, but I'm excited that you guys took that over, and you really understand the business from the inside and everything like that. And as we were talking, there's some cool areas where you can even expand it to. And the other cool thing about that is you have the use of like the thing that's so hard to get. Like I saw people trying to create like kind of sort of competing type platforms, but the thing that had is that had usage. You know, you had tons of photographers and journers already signed up, and you had tons of investors and end users signed up as well. So like, that's how are you going to get that, you know, that going again? Not without a lot of heartache for sure. So
yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Are you looking to scale your land flipping business quickly? Well, we're happy to present our new cutting-edge system built specifically for land flippers. Take a look at the Land Conquest Business System today, and you'll gain full access to a customizable pre-made website, CRM, dedicated phone numbers, text automations, 24/7 support, and more. It's basically a business in the box. Go to software.landconquest.com to learn more.
So, three brothers. You guys are, who's the oldest, and are you the oldest, or?
Mike's the oldest, and Mike was in e-commerce and stuff a little bit with me prior, and he had a 9-to-5 job until recently. He quit with Droners and everything, and he does land on the side, and then Ron's the middle child, and then I'm the youngest.
Okay, yeah, I'm a middle child too. I've got two brothers, so I grew up with, three brothers in the household. So who's the best brother?
The best brother? Depends what we're talking about.
Do you ever get in fights with your brothers?
I do MMA and jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and stuff. So, and he does jiu-jitsu. So we always are rolling around and grappling and stuff. And we go to the gym together when I'm up here. Yeah. So that's fun. And then Ron used to do Muay Thai. And we had the gloves on the other day. And we were doing some light, very, very light, just touch sparring at the gym. And then the next day, my tooth was cracked. But it was cracked from like chewing or something. And I told Ron, I was like, oh, my tooth's cracked. I'm not going to be at work. I got to go to the dentist. Like, my head hurts like hell. And then he's like, oh, I did that to you yesterday by punching you so hard or something. And I was like, no, it wasn't from you, Ron. But yeah, we fight and mess around. It's always a good time.
Who wins?
I always win. Well, I was 5 years younger than my oldest. So he got me for a long time. But now I
got
him.
Yeah. Those older brothers, I mean, they've got you for a while. My older brother, he punched me in the face and knocked out my two front teeth.
Oh,
they were the baby teeth, you know, but
yeah.
I felt like I caught up at some point, but you know,
yeah,
it for a while.
Takes a while for sure.
You know,
oh yeah.
A couple other things I wanted to talk about, like your team on your land investing side of things, like how has that like progressed over time?
To have a big land investing business, you don't need a ton of people, which is really, really nice. Like we have an analyst who does a lot of the pricing and other things like that. We have a COO who does a lot of the deal reviews and things like that. We have full-time transaction coordinator, Amy, and then we have some VAs essentially. And that's the team right there. And we have salespeople too. One salesperson can get you a pretty far way though. Like keeping one salesperson busy full-time, we have them W-2. That's you need a lot of leads coming in to fulfill them up completely. So that team right there, like you can do a lot of business. That's why I love this business in general, especially if you start getting bigger deals. You do not need that many transactions to, you know, have a multi-million dollar business.
It's one of those constant challenges with this business. Like it's hard to turn down a deal that makes money. You know, like you see a deal which you're confident is going to make at least $10,000 for you or something like that. But then, you know, those tips and deals actually bog you down, you know, like just, and I know it may sound crazy, like, oh, you're not going to do a deal that's $10,000, but there's always risk involved and there's lots of things and hoops you have to jump through in order to get to that point. It's so much better when you can get a deal that makes you $150,000 or $200,000 on one deal. And that's 20 of the smaller deals, you know? So do you find yourself fighting with that too? You know, like that. Should I turn this deal down and just focus on the bigger stuff? Or how do you feel about all that?
Yeah, it's a mental thing too, because like along with bogging your team down and doing the review and wiring the money and doing the due diligence and everything that happens, it's like you're sending out mail and marketing to these $10,000 profit. And it just takes up time and money and efficiency. It's like I told my brother Mike, because he's doing droners.io full time. And I was like, you want to be really efficient, do the road frontage thing and get 3-4 properties a year, like because he doesn't want to have something take up that much time. And I was like, don't even send out marketing for $10,000-$15,000 profit deals anymore. I was like, because then your mind's wrapped around those leads and your mind's on it. I was like, if you just were working on a $300,000, $400,000 profit project constantly and had one of those in the pipeline or a few coming in and out, I was like, that's so much easier of a business model. So, and like, just not having that distraction, like you said, for those $10,000 properties. I was like, if you just completely cut those out, I think you'd be very shocked with where your business would go. So I had that conversation like last Friday about it. And I was just thinking so deeply. And I was like, it does bog people down. But you and I in the education space have to understand people. And I want to, like, people coming in want those $10,000 profit deals, you know, those 25,000s. That's why I keep, you know, I push people on it, because that's freedom right there. Like, you make 25 grand, 20, 15, 20 grand from there. It's like, that's 3 months of their paycheck, 4 months of their paycheck. That's crazy, you know? So that's why I'm still really focused. And I think that's a really good way to get your, you know, business up and running and out of your job. But once you get to that point, like, you got to start thinking bigger.
Yeah. It's like proof of concept. Like, there are many people would be very happy to do like make 5 grand or any sort of profit on a deal, you know?
Literally. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you sort of start proving it to yourself and you're like, okay, this actually does work. And then you get a bigger deal on your belt and you're like, oh my God, this, like, what if I could just do all of these bigger deals? So I still have a problem turning down some of the smaller deals, but I really tried to refocus and just say like, hey, it's just simply not worth it a lot of times to really invest so much energy in those. So what do you think has been your biggest mistake you've made in land investing? Could be a property or maybe just a direction you sort of headed with your business or something like that.
We've lost money on, I think, one property so far. And that was, I can talk about property and then actual business in general. I can do one of each. But property-wise, we lost, and it was the margin. We had an offer within a week. And I think we bought it for like 31 and we had it under contract for 85. And it was sold really quick. I was like, this is a nice deal, you know? Title company comes back and says there's no access. We confirmed with title that there was access before. And we used a different title company on this disposition side. So it ended up that the easement came to originally got an easement to give the property access, but the surveyor wrote it up coming to a point, and access doesn't come to a point. So we were in this whole dilemma, and then they backed out because they didn't want it. And this was like 500 feet off the road too, and it had a road to it. So it had like an easement. It was all cleared out and pretty nice. But we tried to push it through and we kept listing it, and we eventually just dropped it to sell it. And we're like, because everyone's like, why didn't you go through a title claim? I was like, they would give us our cost back for the property after, you know, we go through that whole claim and dispute. But we thought we could get more than what we bought still. And we did get more. It's just we leveraged some debt on that property. I think it ended up being 15% total debt on that. And I think we bought it for low 30s and sold it for mid to upper 30s. And after the debt, we lost like 1500. But it just really opened your eyes to how important due diligence is. And that's something we definitely could have figured out before, or pushed them to use the same title company or whatever that is. We definitely, like, learning your lesson from things like that's really important. And then business-wise, two things come to mind. One of the biggest thing is like using your own capital and how quickly it can get tied up. And we were just, you know, on paper, we were making millions of dollars, right? Our first couple years. But then you look at the bank, it's like, where's all my money? I didn't pay myself.
It's sitting all over the country in different parts of the land.
Exactly. So that's another one, is you just, you get to a point where you can tie up all your money into properties. And that's where people like you and deal funding and all of that come in handy. And so you can see your returns essentially. Like, it's fun and it's good to put your money in a safe asset and get that return back eventually, but it's inventory and it would tie up your cash. And if you don't have a stopping point, like, you're not going to see that cash, because that cash will come back and you'll be like, oh, I have 300,000 in the bank. Let's buy these properties. And then all your money's gone again. And then you get 500 and you keep building it up, but you just keep putting it back in inventory. So you have to get funding relationships, just so you see the return at the end of the day. It's also more comfort. It's better. I sleep better when I have more cash in my bank in general, and I'm okay with some debt.
Any big business or any sort of large investors, they're all using debt, you know? So I know this business is different, but so either debt or partnerships, you know, to put these things together. So you're going to be stuck, unless you're incredibly efficient, you're going to be stuck at a certain stage unless you can leverage some of those things at some point. So what about on the other side of things? We talked about things that, you know, weren't so great. What about, what was either like your best deal that you've done, and maybe like the best kind of move you made sort of in your business?
Best move we made is definitely going after bigger, more subdivides, things like, there was a point, I think it was like 2021 maybe, where I looked at all of our deals we're doing, and we did a lot of deals. And I was like, our average profit and our average deal, like we don't have many deals over 50 grand, you know, or over 70 grand. At that point, we only did one or two deals that were over 100 grand. And like, I'm saying low hundreds, like 109, 130. So we put it as a goal to like do 8 six-figure deals that year and start targeting them and just change our mindset. I don't even know if we changed our marketing method really, Pete. Like seriously, I don't know if we did. We changed our mindset of those leads coming in and our aggression towards those deals. And we blew that number out of the water. And that was the biggest pivot we made is just getting over that. And now like probably 40% of our deals, we're closing a $450,000 deal next week. We're closing a lot of good high six-figure deals, low seven-figure deals. It was a turning point for the business for sure. But to get there, I think it's steps, right? Like for someone who's thinking, I only want to go after that and they haven't done one deal, it doesn't, you got to build up the confidence and proof of concept, like you said, and everything else. I'm not saying don't go after them right away, but typically you hit little strides on the way.
Do you have a great deal under contract? Well, submit it to partnerwithpete.com. The Partner with Pete program is a deal funding program where we will actually use our funds to complete the purchase of the property. We will do every other step of the process, including the due diligence, the transaction side, the marketing side, and the transaction on the resale side. And when all the dust settles, we will split the profits 50-50. There is no downside for you as an investor, only upside. So once again, go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and let's get it funded.
Yeah, it's good to take some steps in that direction and, you know, build the proof of concept and, you know, just get some confidence. And as you get that confidence, you'll start naturally building towards wanting to do those bigger and bigger deals. So
yeah, exactly.
What about like what was your best deal you've ever done?
I think some of the best deals are like just very low risk and high upside. Like the buys we had some deals where we bought for like 22,000 and sold for low six figures. Those are just because the risk is so freaking, just such low risk. And one time my salesperson, John at the time, brought me a deal. He's like, he would push deals on us. That's what salespeople do. That's why like when you're operating this business on your own, you have to have your due diligence and title hat and you have to have your sales hat and you cannot intermix those because when your sales hat, you want to push everything through. Everything looks like potential profit to you, right? You're paid commission, all that. But he would push deals on. I was like, and he was pushing this one deal that was like completely wet just about. And we just told him, no, it was risky. And he's like, what's the number that I can get it at? And I was like, just go get it for 1500. Our offer was like 35 grand or something originally. And he comes back. He's like, I got it. And I was like, no way. He's like, yeah, they wanted to get rid of it. So we get this property for $1,500 and we thought we were going to sell it for like, I was like, fine, selling it for 15 just for John or whatever. It's like, whatever. But I think we listed it and sold it for like 40 or 50 grand. And we bought the thing for 1500. And then knowing that it was 40 to 50 grand, I kind of felt bad for the old seller, but that was just our risk profile. Like I didn't want to buy it. I told John no multiple times. He's like, what's your number? And I kind of just threw something out there and he ended up getting it. And it's like those, my favorite aren't necessarily I love the buying for 200, selling for 500 and the subdivides and all of that. Those are great. But those low, low risk deals, the 10,000 that you're selling for 45, like 10,000 selling, those deals are so nice when they come back just from the risk. It's so low risk.
That's interesting. Yeah. I've found myself doing that too. Like certain properties I don't like, I'm just like, you know, if you were able to get it for this price, super low price, you know, do it. And then they come back and you're like, oh no, they got it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I have to buy it. Do you guys ever argue about like which properties to buy and what not to buy? Or do you guys pretty much on the same page with those things?
Since we're partners with my brother and I mean, we have pretty defined roles. So what or how our, ours works, like we get a property back, it goes through due diligence, and then we have Anthony, our COO, reviews it, and he can kind of approve things under a certain amount. And then anything else comes to final approval and he gives the opinion on it. If Ron approves the deal, he usually approves most of them or denies most of them. He makes the decision most of the time on those. I don't even look at him if he's taking care of that one, and I'll look at my pro. So it doesn't overlap like that. And it's like we're on the same page. If we lose money on a deal, I don't really care. Like it happens. If we make a lot of money, that's great. That's what usually happens. But I feel like our roles are pretty split. He does most of the final, we call it final approval. He'll do most of that work. And then on the bigger deals like that 450, I've been very involved in, and the bigger ones I'll step in when I need to and we'll meet and do all that. But I think when you're a lot of people in land have partnerships, I know you, obviously you and your wife and your family, from what I understand, all in the business.
My daughters,
and having,
yeah.
Yeah. So having defined roles and just responsibilities and just trusting the other person, and you know mistakes are going to happen. It's not that big of a deal. Like if we lose money on a deal, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It's whatever. It's a learning process. So I think just having that mindset is important. Having those roles defined is very important too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about the aggregate. You know, I get too caught up in an individual deal. Sometimes I'm spending all this time on a small deal just to try to make it profitable. And I'm like, you know, in the big picture, this is nothing. You know, I should just be thinking on the bigger deals and the things that actually move the needle. So the land investing business as a whole, where do you see it going over the next year, 5 years? Like where, what do you see the direction of it being? Is it like there going to be more demand for land, less demand? What are your thoughts?
I hope more demand, but obviously as the landscape of land flipping gets more competitive, which it naturally will as business cycles come through, more opportunities will also open up. You know, the way we're doing deals now might change in some way. The way we're acquiring deals and marketing might change. There's a lot of different, like you just look at the cycle of where wholesaling was at first and the whole journey to where it got today. And you see the marketing methods and everything they're doing on their end from a software standpoint and just business model standpoint. Things are obviously going to change as the landscape changes. That's why I love the term land investing, Pete, instead of land flipping, because land flipping tells you to do this, buy it at this and then flip it real quick and make your profit. But land investing is a huge, huge, huge term. That's almost like real estate investing, right? It's just a big term referring to land. So I love projects. They can be a little more complex, especially for newer people, but I really like the sustainability of small projects. Buying for 40%, selling for 100% works really, really well right now. I would recommend anyone listening to this to continue to do that. Don't get scared of the future. People were asking the same question, Pete, when we first started, like, is it too competitive? How much did you hear that at first? And like, I was probably asking
that. I heard it the whole time, you know,
yeah.
Like before I even had any mail hitting the mailboxes, I was like worried, oh, like, is it too competitive?
You know? Yeah. And people look for external factors instead of looking internally at what they can do. So do not get distracted on all these different things going on. Like put your head down and just keep working. These deals are out there. But in general, I think land is going to continue. The demand going to continue. It's very, you know, stable as an asset class. I hold land long-term personally. I have some lots that we own long-term just because one, I like to go there and it's recreational and it's just, you know, an asset that I'm comfortable holding long-term. As well from a financial aspect. And, you know, land is like kind of like Bitcoin in a way where they're not creating more of it. There's a, you know, there's a fixed amount, which is why I mean, you can't create more land in the US. So if you believe in the US, I think it's really a good asset to hold long-term as well, which just proves the sustainability of this business.
Yeah. I've got some long-term land investments as well. They originally started out as short-term, but they just didn't sell. So
I'm in that same boat too.
Yeah. You and I are on the same page in that. Obviously, I just think it's a great segment to be involved in long term. And I just don't see the demand for land or even out of rural type properties going down anytime soon. You know, as technologies improve, building methods improve and things like that, I think we're going to be finding a lot of people that are looking for maybe some space away from some of the large metropolises they can work from anywhere, you know, in a lot of situations. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you feel like you want to mention?
I think just if you guys haven't, I know we covered the land portal, but the main things it does, and I want to make that clear, is just it's a software company for land investors, obviously built by my brother Ron and I and our team. So we like the way we get the next iterations and enhancements on what we're doing is from you guys. Like there's not one thing I've done on that site where it's like, I want to do it, because I know there's things that I would like in my business, but other people don't. And it's all coming from feedback from the users in the land space. It's a data exporting company built for land investors specifically. And there's a lot of proprietary filters that we talked about, like Pete said, but we're data first. It's data exporting first. And then Pete also mentioned how we're also a map, like ID.land. That's our second priority. Data, number one priority. Our map is second priority. So you can see and visualize the features and look at the land, you know, and build list and do all these custom things with our proprietary filters. But I just wanted to clarify that for everyone.
You could basically use the filters to pull up any sort of list you want, and then you just pay for whatever you export, right?
Correct. You pay per export. And then the map, if you just want to use it for, there's a lot of people who quit ID.land because of it. You know, you can save your maps and stuff now with a unique URL and put in your CRM and all that. It's smooth. We just did I don't know how recent you used it, Pete, but we just did a map project, and the map is very smooth and very fast now with all the overlays and just the outlines of the property. It's very, very nice. And I got the map to where I wanted it. But like I said, yeah, mapping and data is the primary. There's obviously skip tracing, really solid skip tracing on it, and a lot of other things you can do. You search just like ID.land, search individual properties, things like that to do some preliminary due diligence.
After I really started looking into it, we've been talking about this for, a month or two or something like that. And you guys sent me over, login to try it out and everything. And I was just so busy. And then one Saturday morning, I was like, all right, I got some time. I'm going to dig in here and look at it. And I was like, oh my God, I was kind of like blown away. It's like, why were we not using this the whole time? And now, now we're full steam ahead on building lists on it and everything like that. And got all kinds of crazy ideas swimming in my head of cool types of lists that we can build and a custom mail and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to see where it takes our business. And I know that, like, many of the people in our community and everything are going to love it as well if they try it out too. So if you are interested in trying it, you can go to my page, which is just resources.landconquest.com. And then I will have it prominently featured on that page. So you can just click through and check it out. So I'm just very excited to see what it can do for my business and hopefully really improve the bottom line. And I guess that's the goal, I guess. Got any big plans for the rest of this year or the rest of this summer?
Nah, just up here in Cincinnati, really hanging out with family. Nothing crazy this year. Just I've been really dialed in on the businesses right now. I've gone through one of those phases of just, extremely hyper-focus and growing this thing, and it's exciting and a lot of things are happening at once. So I've been super focused on, family and the businesses right now and traveling around a little bit on the side, but nothing crazy. I also wanted to give you a shout out because we mentioned this at the beginning when we first met. Like, Pete was sending out, I don't even remember, 20, 30,000 mailers. And I was like, holy. And then they're like, I was going aggressive too. And I was like, Pete's sending out 30,000 mailers a month. And he's at like month five. Pete. So if you guys are listening, you guys are in the right spot. Pete's been going at this. So he's not, some of these coaches out here are, they talk like they're doing it, but they don't really do it. I know personally a lot, but you're in the right spot if you're listening here. Pete's the real deal with land. So just want to give you a shout out on that end.
I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate that. And we've been on parallel paths this whole time. And you mentioned that you're in one of those modes where you're just like lots of building stuff. And that's really fun when you get in that mode. Like, as an entrepreneur, like, it just drives you, And you go through, as an entrepreneur, you go through walls where everything is, maybe you're missing some direction or whatever. But when you have those like real solid direction and it's fun for you and everything, you just can't like wait to get it early and stay up late to like get stuff done and everything. It's just, it just makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
It does, man. That's what we're here for. That's why I'm an entrepreneur, for those little cycles like that. And it comes and goes though. So don't be discouraged if you're listening and you're in a runt. Like, I've been in tons of runts. I've thought I was going to quit. I thought my businesses were going to fail at times. Like, it comes and goes. So just stick with it and you'll have, the high times will come.
Well, how do you get out of those ruts?
You just got to keep moving forward. Like, usually what needs to be done if you're in the business and you're working every day. And like, the direction is the biggest thing. Like, understanding where you're going to go is the biggest thing. If you start losing that, you stop losing your direction. That's where it can get really tricky. So you just got to always dial in and understand where you're going and why you're here.
Yeah, I feel like that for me, when I get into one of those modes where it's just, I'm just losing some motivation for everything. It comes down to that. Like, I've got too many things going on. I'm not like laser focused like I need to be. When I get that laser focus and I'm really bought into whatever goal I'm trying to achieve, then it's all over. That is fun. And when it's fun, it's easy.
Exactly. I was in a runt for, I feel like, 3-4 months this year. I mean, I was still working and stuff, but look, and I didn't even know I was in one at the time. And I was still working and doing everything that I need to be doing. But looking back at, like, compared to where I am now, I just felt like, looking back, that was just, I was just kind of going through the motion. I didn't have clear direction. I didn't have clear direction on the business for a couple months. And looking back, I definitely felt it. And now, it's like anything, man, they come and go.
Well, I think that's a great place to end it. I really love this interview. And check out the land portal. Like I said, go to resources.landconquest.com and you'll see it prominently featured on there. And maybe we'll have to do, a follow-up interview, next year or something like that, see how things are going in this software journey you guys are on. All right. Well, thanks, Daniel. And we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Pete. Had a good time.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.